Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
We all have to go some way, but I don't want to go with my leg being amputated because I am a diabetic. I don't want to go because of hypertension and, you know, my arteries just got clogged up. I don't want to go. So I mentioned to them the quality of life, and then I mentioned to them moderation is killing us. Oh, just a little bit of pork, you know, just a little bit of, you know, fried food, just a little bit of that, and not realizing that just a little bit adds up to a lot.
Hey, it's Monique. This is episode 85 of the Brown Vegan Podcast, where I love to share strategies on how to start and keep going with a vegan lifestyle in a very practical way. And I love to, of course, bring on guests to share their experiences as well. Be sure to come hang out with me on social media. I'm Brown Vegan on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, but I'm most active on Instagram. So come hang out with me on Instagram, and I'm Brown Vegan over there. So yeah, I hope you're having a great week. I am having a great week too, actually. Last week was a mess, but you know, this week I'm feeling a lot better, which is good. Just trying to get it together. You know how it is with life. Sometimes you just have those ups and downs, and that's what I'm experiencing lately. Let me tell you what I did to kind of get back on track. I went to YouTube and pulled up some clips of I Love New York and Flavor of Love. I pulled up all of the New York clips and just laughed for like an hour, and it made me feel so much better because I was like, girl, you take life too seriously. You overthink everything. I'm gonna need you to relax. And that's exactly what it made me do. So it really did help me, along with some Stevie Wonder music, pulling out my diffuser, drinking some mint tea, and just relaxing and just, you know, not trying to think about all of the things that I have going on in my life that sometimes have me stressed the hell out, and just, you know, trying to figure out what my self-care is going to look like long term. So yeah, that's what I did. So I hope you're having a good week, and I hope all is well in your world. So I have a guest on the show for you. I have Zav, the plant-based brother, on the show. I'm so excited that he came on to share his journey with becoming a plant-based eater and how life has been for him. We're going to talk about how he's able to maintain this lifestyle as someone who travels a lot for work, some of his favorite meals. I think that was actually probably my favorite part of the conversation, when he was breaking down some of the things he loves to eat. Because, I mean, this man loves to cook and he loves to entertain. So it was great to have Zav go over all of that. We also chatted about, for him, why he is a plant-based eater and not a vegan, and how he started this journey more so for ethical reasons as a child, but as he became older, it's definitely more about health and how he also consumes honey. So I know that this is technically a vegan podcast, but for myself, I think it's just so important for me to show how you can do this lifestyle in different ways. It doesn't have to be so cut and dry. And I think that sometimes the intimidation of it being cut and dry is why people don't start. And so to me, it's my goal to bring on more people who don't necessarily think the same way as me, to show that there is, you know, a different way to do this if you prefer it that way. The bottom line is him not eating animals definitely reduce the impact on the planet. It definitely makes life easier as far as for his health. The less animals he's eating, or overall, the better it is for all animals. That's how I look at it. So that's why I wanted Zob to come on the show to talk about his journey. Another part two of this conversation that I'm really glad that he shared was how to transition as a man and be vegan and stay satisfied and feel like this is a lifestyle you can do long term, especially since there's so many messages out there that make men feel like they should eat steak and potatoes and that's manly and eating vegetables is not. So I'm so glad he shared his journey with his experiences with that, and also some tips on how to transition as a male vegan, specifically a Black male vegan. You can get all of the show notes and resources that I mentioned in this episode at brownvegan.com under episode 85. Be sure to follow Zob on social media. I'll make sure that I link everything on the blog post as well for you. So yeah, without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right into Zob's plant-based story.
So yeah, when I was 12 years old, I saw a documentary at church. The year was 2000, and a guy came in and he was just showing this documentary, and I was really, really engaged. I remember just being in that moment, and I literally said to myself, I did not know they did these type of things to animals. Wow, this is crazy. I don't want to eat meat anymore. I got home and I ate some chicken. And then shortly after that, literally a couple of days later, I told my parents and my whole family, because my uncle was vegetarian in the 90s. So I told them, I'm like, hey, I really don't want to eat meat anymore. I don't want to eat chicken, beef, steak. I don't want to do it anymore. I just want to eat fish. So from 2000 to 2015, I ate fish and dairy. So I called myself a plant-based person. You know, I was definitely incorporating more plants in my diet than meat, because I really never liked a whole lot of meat anyway, so it just kind of made sense. Gave up milk, all of that. And then in 2015, I went to a health ministry kind of workshop, and a doctor, a renowned doctor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Dr. Errol Bryce, he was just telling us about cheese and about dairy, because I still ate dairy as a plant-based person, but at that moment, he told us, yo, cheese is kind of like a drug. He said, when you eat it, you know, the same feelings and the things that go through your body as if someone is doing coke is what happens when we eat cheese. And I actually followed up and did the research, and there are tons of articles to pretty much that says the same thing. And it's so funny, Monique, because you never say never, because I was someone that said, I will never be able to give up cheese. I will never be able to give up my ice cream. I just love it so much, knowing that it did not love me. I used to suffer from chronic sinusitis. I used to always be congested, bloating, just all of that because of dairy. My stomach used to just be toe up from the blow up. It used to be bad, a bad situation. And then I gave up January 24th was the day. January 24th, 2015 was the day that I gave up dairy and fish. No animal byproducts for the most part. And yeah, it's been 3.5 years and I'm still pushing. I'm still going strong.
You're still alive, because people always say you're going to die, right? You're still alive. That's dope. So you did, at 12 years old, you knew that this was wrong, you know, from an animal rights perspective. You were like, okay, I can't do this anymore. But like you said, you went home and ate the chicken. I think that happens, especially at 12, because you really don't have a whole bunch of control over what you eat at that age. So for that time, you were a vegetarian from all of those years, starting very young. What does your family think?
My family, I literally was thinking about this sometime last year. The end of last year when I went home for the holidays. I come from an African-American family, and I am so grateful that my family kind of like embraced me. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm kind of spoiled in my family. So they were making reservations. If they made, you know, a meat dish, guess what? They're going to make a non-meat dish for Zob. So they were really, really supportive. I didn't get shunned. I was never shamed. They never said, oh, I don't know what you're going to eat tonight, so you better, if you don't eat this. I never went hungry. At that time, it was so few options as far as plant-based. I used to always eat Morningstar Farms, their food all of the time, but they were very, very accommodating, and I'm so grateful for that. Mm-hmm. From that time, they looked out for me, and I actually inspired other members of my family.
That's what I was going to ask you next. Yeah, since they were so open-minded,
So my twin sister went plant-based. My little cousin went vegetarian. My aunts, my first cousin went plant-based, and she's raising her children to be plant-based as well, with eating, you know, no dairy. It was good that I've been able to inspire. I'm the one in my family, the main one in my family, who has done it consistently since 2000.
Nice.
So I haven't had any chicken or beef or steak or lamb or any of that. Since 2000, some of them kind of fell by the wayside, but they're going strong now.
Yeah, that's dope. That's dope. And you know how you were able to inspire, probably just by just being who you are. You probably didn't have to preach and do anything special.
Not at all.
Just being who you are and sharing the food and people eat it. I feel like that's the best way to do it. It really is, as far as long term success with it. So what's your, do you mind me asking, what's your religion? Because the fact that this was being shown at your church, I'm just curious about why animal rights, a documentary was being shown at your church.
Yeah, no, for sure. It was, you know, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was during divine worship. I'm actually Seventh-day Adventist.
There it is. Okay. Yeah.
So within the Seventh-day Adventist religion, health is very, very the health message and the health ministry and ministry of healing and using food to be your medicine is a key staple within our church. So, you know, there are a lot of people who are Seventh-day Adventists who are vegetarians. There's a study that you all can search. The people in Loma Linda, California are some of the people that live the longest, and the studies show that because of their diet. So that is why someone who was, I don't remember his title, but I just remember the documentary that came in during the Divine Worship Hour and said, hey, we need to watch this. We need to be aware of what we put in our body. And it just kind of stuck.
So another reason I wanted to talk about that is the fact that I know that you consider yourself to be plant-based and not vegan.
Right.
Because I feel like your history, though, your journey started from more of an animal rights perspective, I guess. Mm-hmm. What made you shift it to be more of plant-based? Because you're very, very clear about that. Every time we talk about it, you always say, no, I'm plant-based, not vegan. What's the distinction for you? Like, why do you see yourself that way? I know you don't really care about titles that much, but I just want to know. I'm curious.
Right, yeah, no, for sure. Titles and labels are not really my thing, but the reason, if I could be completely honest, and I'm supposed to be having this conversation with a friend in a couple of hours, but the reason why I consider myself to be plant-based and not vegan is because there are so many titles and labels, and my personal definition, you know, my truth is my definition, and my personal definition is if someone meets me and they decide to incorporate more plants in their diet than meat or dairy, then you are plant-based. You say you eat, you know, fish and chicken on Saturdays, and everything else, you're practically raw vegan or whatever the case may be. I consider that to be plant-based because you are incorporating more plants in your diet than meat and other things. And I also eat honey. I am not for the animal rights part of it, even though that was kind of like where the foundation started. But right now I consider myself to be a dietary plant-based vegan. If I had used the word vegan, which I usually don't, I just use it in social settings and at restaurants because you're going to know, okay, I don't eat meat and dairy. So I use it in a social setting. But if I'm talking to you or someone in my family, it's like, no, I'm not plant-based, because I honestly feel that the vegan term is kind of like a religion. I'm very, very keen in separating the two. Just, you know, I love God. I love the Lord. And, you know, being vegan is not my religion. I believe that animals shouldn't be mistreated, but that's not my, you know, I'm not holding up a pitchfork and condemning individuals, because I am a big proponent on knowing that you can get more people open to your message and what you're about and who you are with honey than you are with vinegar. And I eat honey. My conviction on honey is, you know, I've done some research and like Melaleuca, and it's some honey that is really, really good for you. And, you know, I'm a singer at church and I'm a professional speaker. Like, I make my living speaking. So, you know, I have decaffeinated tea and put my honey in it. That's not one of my convictions. So I'm not like, man, animal rights, you know, don't wear leather. I'm just like, I'm not that person. So I say plant-based because that just makes me feel a little bit more comfortable, because you're not going to have these expectations from me.
That like is you, a good point. Yeah.
That's it. You know, you see me in my Insta story and I'm making a breakfast smoothie and I'm putting my kale and I'm putting my dates and strawberries and bananas, and I put a little dash of honey and cinnamon. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm very intentional about being plant-based and staying plant-based if I'm not at a restaurant or in a social setting where you need to know, like, okay, my dietary restrictions are pretty much vegan.
I definitely get it, because sometimes people are really afraid of the V word. They're like, oh, goodness, here we go. Because of the, you know, unfortunately, I feel like a small percentage kind of make it a little difficult for everyone else. So I Absolutely. Definitely understand that. Also, because it sounds like you do it for dietary reasons, it's a little right. different than me doing it for ethical reasons. So mm-hmm. I can see why. And of course, if you consume honey, you definitely wouldn't be considered a vegan. So I get exactly why. Right. At the same time, that just kind of goes to show that there's so much separation, and I feel like there's a hierarchy, like, you know, raw vegans are at the top, fruitarians, and like...
There's levels to this, right.
So many levels to it, and it can be so confusing and daunting for someone that's getting started. So what do you suggest for someone who is brand new or vegan curious or plant-based curious, and they're wanting to make like baby steps to get started? What do you suggest for them? Because I have a feeling you're going to say toss the label. Am I right? Toss the labels. Is that the first step?
you know, not the first step. I think the first thing I would tell them is don't compare their journey to anyone else. Mm-hmm. They don't need to look at the brown vegan or plant-based brother or anybody that they see is doing what it is they want to do and compare their journeys, because I've been asking questions at restaurants and navigating menus and recipes for quite some time. So don't compare your journey to me or anyone else, or look on social media and just think, hey, I'll never be able to do this, because I too used to say never. I would definitely say, you know, drink water, and this is the main one. Be okay with exploring new fruits and veggies. Mm-hmm. Period. I make fun of my friends, close friends, of course, because we can clown like that. And I tell my friends, if they say, oh, I don't eat okra, that's too slimy, my main response is, you need to upgrade your palate. Your palate is childish. It's childish. You need to upgrade your palate. And they always laugh and get on me like, man, be quiet. And I'm just like, no, seriously, because there are so many fruits and veggies. There's this Instagram meme that says, don't y'all get tired of eating the same tinned meat while we over here with like hundreds of vegetables and fruits? I said that.
Look, do they have that many though? I think they have like three. They'll have 10.
they got three main ones. Not
yeah,
even
exactly.
Right.
Like three main ones, right.
And we over here, you know, just, I mean, from radishes to beets to asparagus to Brussels sprouts and chickpeas and just everything in between. But I would definitely tell individuals to just try these fruits and veggies, because these are the things that are healing individuals' bodies. One of my friends just told me, yeah, my sister used to have breast cancer. She went vegan for a year and the doctors were astonished. And I was just like, that part. Mm. That is why fruits and veggies are so important in our diet. Kale and arugula and just all that good stuff.
Yep, the rainbow. The garden, yep. Dope. So I know that you do a lot of travel, because you're an education consultant, right? So you do things with the school system. You go and do public speaking, a lot of work. How does it look when you go to a school for the day? Because I know you're in different locations all the time. How does that look as far as planning your lunch, or do they usually have something for you to eat at the school? Like, what do you typically do for that?
I usually bring my own lunch because, you know, it's a lot of times the teachers, if they have something for teachers or the administrators or even the students, it's 9 times out of 10, honestly, not going to be anything that I could eat or that I would want to put in my body, my temple. So I am always packing lunch and bringing lunch. And it's just so funny because I'll warm it up and people are like, yo, what's that? That smells good. I'm like, oh, that's just some lentils and some chickpeas over some quinoa with some roasted vegetables. It's like, wait, you made all of that? Like, yes, this is what I'm having for lunch. And they're always very intrigued and just like, hey, I've never tried lentils before. And it's just a way for me to just let them know about the plant-based lifestyle and the plant-based diet and just the different things that you can try and you can experiment with. But I'm always getting questions on what am I eating because, you know, it's probably going to look different. You know, this is a sandwich that doesn't have any sandwich meat in it. It just has avocado, arugula, tomatoes, and vegan eggs. That's what it has. And like, yo, where's your meat? I'm like, oh, I don't eat meat, or I'll be eating some fruit. And people will be astonished, like fruit for breakfast, or, you know, the big kicker recently is chia seed pudding. Somebody was like, what is that? How does it taste? I'm like, oh, and I was able to explain the process of soaking chia seeds in almond milk overnight and just adding your fruits like berries and strawberries and blueberries, almonds, coconut flakes in the morning time, shaking it up, and then you have this gelatinous awesomeness, also known as chia seed pudding. Mm-hmm. And they're like, whoa, that's pretty cool. So I always get asked a lot of questions about what I am eating because of how it looks or because how it smells. And it's just a great segue for me to just explain about the plant-based lifestyle.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times you get questions too is, you know, the main reason why I wanted you on the show was to talk about because of how you look too. I'm sure you get a lot of questions because I'm like, okay, this black man doesn't eat any meat. What's going on? Does anybody, not necessarily in a school system, but just in general, does anybody say anything because you're a black man and you decided not to eat meat or dairy or anything else?
Right. So funny that you asked that question because someone literally said last week, I can't even remember where I was, but somebody literally said last week, oh, you know, I thought that people who don't eat meat, of course they use the term vegan because, you know, that's their knowing, okay, I don't eat meat or dairy products.
Yeah.
Right. Very, very common. Well, I thought vegans were supposed to be kind of like frail and slim until I met you because I am, you know, 5'10", 215, chocolate brother with locks. You know, I could be in a suit or I could be in some ripped jeans and a fitted cap. And, you know, it's not the quintessential look that people probably would think that someone who doesn't eat meat, how they should look. But I love breaking down stereotypes and I love speaking and just letting them know, hey, I've been in the game as far as not eating meat since 2000 and just exploring. But I get that a lot. A lot of times people think that, oh, because I am a man, because, you know, I am black, that I should be eating meat. And it's like, because there are a lot of bodybuilders, as we saw and as millions of people saw in What the Health, there are a lot of bodybuilders that are killing the game right now, and they're not eating, you know, any animal byproducts. So it's just a common misconception that you have to be frail, that you know, you have to eat pork chop and just all this stuff. And especially in the black community, if we're being honest and real, we struggle with hypertension, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease is a big killer amongst our women. And, you know, someone recently said, and it made me laugh, you know, high blood pressure does not run in your family. You have high blood pressure because you do not run. Mm. And I was just like, ooh, okay, you're right. I was like, you're right. And that's the thing, you know, these things don't have to run in our families, quote unquote. But if we change our diets and if we get active, we can be transformed and we can feel better and we can debunk these myths and break generational curses. I'm all about breaking generational curses. It's so important.
This episode of the podcast is being brought to you by Green Chef. If you're not familiar, Green Chef is a USDA certified company that includes everything you need to easily cook delicious meals that you can feel good about. With Green Chef, it's easy to maintain a specialty diet like ours because they offer vegan, paleo, vegetarian, keto, and gluten-free options. Of course, you know I got the vegan box. I had it delivered right to my door. All of the ingredients were already sorted to make it so easy to get started with cooking. I'm so excited to have an option like Green Chef because when I became a vegan, I had no idea what to cook. So I think it's perfect for new vegans or even people like me who've been doing this for a while and you want some more variety in your life. Green Chef offers a variety of organic ingredients and step-by-step instructions with chef's tips and pictures. Perfect for someone who doesn't cook. It makes it less intimidating to get in the kitchen. So my favorite meals from the current box with the sweet potato noodle bowl. So delicious. Love the curry ginger dressing. And I love the seitan tacos. Very filling and simple. And both meals took less than 30 minutes to put together. No more thinking about what's for dinner. Save time and let Green Chef do the meal planning, the grocery shopping, and most of the meal prep for you. To get $50 off of your first box, go to greenchef.us/brownvegan. That's greenchef.us/brownvegan to take advantage of this special offer. And also let me know what you think once you try the recipes. I know you told me that someone was saying to you, well, I mean, I might as well eat this bacon or whatever anyway, because we're all going to die. Might as well die happy.
Right.
How do you respond to that? It's just like, goodness. How do you respond if somebody says that to you? It's one thing if somebody says it on the internet and I can ignore it. But for somebody to say that in your face, it's like, whoa, how do you respond? What did you say?
First thing, I'm like, deep sigh. Ah, gosh, here we go. And then I come at them with love and just say, I mentioned quality of life. Because at the end or whenever it is that we are to go from leave from this earth, it's all about the quality of life and just how you feel. And they're absolutely correct. We all have to go some way. But I don't want to go with my leg being amputated because I am a diabetic. Right. I don't want to go because of hypertension and, you know, my arteries just got clogged up. I don't want to go. So I mentioned to them the quality of life. And then I mentioned to them, moderation is killing us. Oh, just a little bit of pork, you know, just a little bit of, you know, fried food, just a little bit of that, and not realizing that just a little bit adds up to a lot.
Yes.
Moderation is killing us, seriously. So when someone says we all have to die some way, I always mention to them the quality of life that they should be. I just ask them, what type of life quality are you looking to experience? What type of example do you want to set for your younger family members so that they can walk and grow and be mindful of not putting certain things in this temple? We only have one temple. So that's what I usually tell them.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. I know you said at one point you used to eat a lot of Morningstar. You used to love that type of stuff as far as, I guess, your meat alternatives.
Uh-huh.
Do you do any of that now? Or what do you do as far as to get some of that? Because sometimes I feel like people think that if you're a man and you're a vegan, you can't be satisfied. You're hungry all the time. Do you feel like sometimes you're a little hungry and you need something extra? Like, how do you handle some of your favorite dishes and things like that?
That's a great question because I am one that is an advocate for recreating your favorite dish or your favorite meal. So if you love fried chicken, you know, I love the Gardein brands. So I do eat those from time to time. I love tempeh. If you want to have macaroni and cheese, that was actually my mom's macaroni and cheese was actually my favorite dish growing up. And now I'm able to make my own macaroni and cheese using alternative cheese sources. My sister, she gave me the recipe for this incredible cheese made from onions, carrots, potatoes, nutritional yeast, a little bit of oil and seasoning. And
so good.
I mean, this is like slap your mama good as far as cheese sauce to use. So I am someone that is really big on recreating some of the comfort foods and meat in some dishes that have meat. Shepherd's pie. Have you ever had shepherd's pie before?
I haven't had it vegan.
Really?
I had it before I was vegan, but I haven't had it vegan. So what do you do with yours?
Yeah, so I remember in college, I'm from Miami, Florida, and my family did not grow up eating shepherd's pie. And in college, I went to Bethune-Cookman University in Daytona Beach, Florida. Woo-woo! Go Wildcats.
Yeah.
and I remember periodically they used to have shepherd's pie. And I didn't know what that was. I just thought it looked pretty decent. So it was one Friday night not too long ago, and I was like, okay, man, I want some shepherd's pie. So, you know, I went online, I went on Google and YouTube, and I said, okay, how can I make this plant-based? So I had all of the recipe, all of the ingredients, so I made the recipe. I used white potatoes, I used earth balance of butter, veggies, I had crumbles, some you know, meat-free crumbles, and it was so good. And that was just one reminder to myself, actually, to kind of just enjoy some of the things that I've never been able to enjoy because they had meat. It's like, hey, Zav, you can make this yourself. You don't have to, this does not have to be a meat dish. Another dish that I love making, and it's super simple, and, you know, being a millennial, not having a lot of time, being busy, womp womp, that's a lot of our sob stories. So, a quick meal that I love to make is chickpea tuna.
I love that too. What do you put in yours?
Yeah, so I put celery, vegan mayo, I put peppers, three types of peppers, I put tomatoes because I like a little bit chunky, some seasonings, and, you know, mash the chickpeas up, and I mean, it's so simple. Relish, oh, can't forget the relish. Mash the chickpeas up, and it's, I had a couple of my friends try this. Like, I thought this was tuna, bro.
Yes, I love it. See, you know, I make mine kind of close to how I used to make tuna fish, because it's kind of like a true veganizing it. So I do the mayonnaise, the relish. I don't do the celery because I didn't usually put celery in my tuna salad before I was vegan. So, like, it's all about the seasoning, the red onion, yeah, the relish. I do put a little bit of Dijon mustard in there too.
Oh, wow.
I think that's okay. So to me, it's just, it reminds me of what it was before I was vegan. And that's, and like, kind of goes back to what you were saying, it's the importance of veganizing some of your favorite dishes. And right, I think that's how you stay vegan long term, is you tap into some of that, the stuff, mm-hmm, that you used to love before, because then you don't feel like you're missing out. Because exactly, I think that is an issue. In the beginning, did you feel like you were satisfied? Did you were getting enough food? Did you feel like you were hungry all the time? Did you have any of those struggles?
So
I feel like we do. People don't talk about this part. They don't talk about this part. Right? So that's why I want to talk about it. They don't talk about the part of that hungry stage.
Right. People do. And honestly, something that I did wrong first starting out was, drum roll please,
uh-oh,
I incorporated more carbs instead of more veggies. And that is another way for you to, because sometimes people think like, okay, I'm going to stop eating meat and I'm just going to lose a ton of weight. And it's like, no, if you replaced your chicken or your steak or your, you know, lamb with another portion of potatoes or macaroni and cheese or pasta or whatever the case may be, then you're actually not going to lose weight. So in order to feel full, when I first started umpteen years ago, I did increase my carb consumption. But now that I know a little bit more and I know better, I'm able to add some fruit before I eat, because I know that fruit would give me that sensation. Even if it's a handful of grapes, some pistachios, and an 8-ounce glass of water. You know, if I'm home, if I'm cooking, so I won't overeat. So I actually do feel full when I eat, because, you know, I'm eating portion sizes that are, you know, respectable for a grown man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not overeating. I'm not doing anything like that. But when I first got started, I added more carbs,
yeah,
so I added more bread, I added more. So, you know, I've never really struggled with that, thank God, but I know that a lot of people, you know, who I've coached and who I've helped, like, you know, I did vegan, or I did plant-based, or I tried vegetarian for a week, I'm sure you've heard this before, mm-hmm, but I was just always so hungry,
yeah,
and it's little hacks, like having some fruit, or some nuts with you at all times, or drinking a 16-ounce bottle of water. Those are small hacks that will cause you to not overeat.
And also feel satisfied.
Yeah.
I think that one of the mistakes I made when I started is I thought that I could just eat, you know how, okay, so you're not eating any meat. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just eat the side salad. Of course you're hungry if you're eating like a small side salad. You got to probably eat a lot of salad to feel satisfied. Exactly. So I think it's just kind of like that mindset shift that has to happen. Like, okay, you can't just eat one orange. You probably have to eat two or three oranges, you know, you can't. Because because we're so used to the fruits and vegetables kind of being like the supporting cast. It's not really out. We don't think of it as a meal. We don't think of it as a meal. So it's kind of, it takes some time.
And that's so funny that you mentioned that, because I tell people that all the time. When you are kale and arugula and green leafy vegetables have more protein per gram than meat. But the thing is, you just have to eat a lot more of it. Mm-hmm. So when I'm eating a kale and arugula salad or a kale and romaine lettuce salad, guess what? I am putting everything except the kitchen sink in my salad. No lie. I'm putting red onion. I'm putting avocado. I'm putting in sesame sticks.
Everything.
I'm putting in chickpeas. I'm putting in beets and just everything. And I'm not feeling, oh man, I just ate 5 minutes ago, so I'm hungry. Nah, that meal will sustain me. Like a hearty, healthy salad will sustain me until dinner time.
Yep. Something else I was thinking about based on what you were saying was the fact that I know that you like a lot of the meat alternatives that are out there. Because you started, or you feel like in this journey, this part of your journey, you are plant-based for health reasons, are you concerned about that? Because I don't even know how I'm posing the question right, but I know a lot of times people say they're plant-based because they don't want to put the vegan title on there because they don't like a lot of the alternatives that are out there. They don't want to eat those things. So how is it in your mind or in your experience, how is it healthier to eat some of those alternatives than it is to just eat steak or chicken like everyone else is doing? Like how do you justify that for yourself?
I like that question.
Oh, okay, good. Because I wasn't sure.
I like it a lot. No, I justify eating the plant-based alternatives like tofu and tempeh because the tofu and tempeh and I love the soy-free Beyond Meat brand. I love that brand.
Mm-hmm.
I tell anybody to purchase it. But because those alternatives are not being recalled for salmonella and for mad cow and those, it's just that's how I justify it because of what it does to our body. It's filling, especially if it comes from plant-based proteins like the Beyond Meat brand. It's going to be better for us than, let's say, some shrimp or let's say some pork chops or whatnot. And it's not going to make you feel super sluggish and it's not going to sit at the bottom of your stomach for multiple days at a time. So that's how I justify it. I'm actually a fan of the meat alternatives. I don't eat it every day, but I'm not soy sensitive either. So for example, this morning I had a tofu scramble and I probably won't eat tofu for another week or so.
Right.
So that's how I am able to kind of like navigate it just by incorporating whole foods in my diet and just realizing that eating a plant-based meat alternative is going to be better for our bodies than actually meat because of what a lot of this meat carries, and it's not injected with the hormones to make it huge so that it is available to be brought at your local grocery store for consumption.
As far as cholesterol too, you don't have to worry about having higher cholesterol eating tofu over a steak. So that's definitely another health benefit. I wanted to just check in with you with that question because I know, like I said, I hear that so often. And for me, this is just, it really is a practical lifestyle. Just like, for instance, before you were saying how when you have lunch at the school, you have like the roasted vegetables and the quinoa and the kale and things like that. And then maybe the next week you'll go to a vegan restaurant and have some vegan chicken. You know what I mean? That's like one of the patties that are made in there. So I love the fact that you're showing that this can be a practical lifestyle and it's not something that's just like so hardcore that people can't do it or they feel like they can't do it. So that's just really, really important for showing it from this perspective. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just to kind of shift gears a little bit, what are some of your favorite, because I know you love to go out to eat. What are some of your favorite, I guess, restaurants or things to eat while out?
Yeah, no, for sure. I absolutely love going to a chain that a lot of people may be familiar with is Yard House, because I love entertaining. And I know that a lot of times there could be some pushback if you invite your friends out to dinner and they're not necessarily vegan, plant-based, or even vegetarian, and they want to eat what they want to eat. So Yard House is a place that has tons of options for being plant-based or being a meat eater. So I love going to Yard House, but when I go to restaurants, I'm probably going to try your black bean burger. I'm a big fan of black bean burgers and just making sure that, you know, your black bean burger isn't any better than mine, because I like to cook as well. What flavors does this one have? My favorite vegetable right now is Brussels sprouts. Crispy Brussels sprouts are like the best thing since sliced bread. I can go to any restaurant and get crispy Brussels sprouts. Love that. And there's some staples. Quinoa tabbouleh. I love going to Mediterranean restaurants because they're always going to have falafel and some yummy hummus and a great salad. And then if I can find a plant-based, not some plant-based nachos, I'll be a happy man. I usually go for those. Those are my go-tos because nachos are my favorite food.
Yes, I love it. There's a place in D.C. When you come back here, because I'm sure you'll be back in this area sometime soon. But Busboys and Poets, they have some amazing.
Love Busboys.
You had this? Okay, look at you. So you already know. Busboys, they have some good vegan nachos. I like Yard House too, and for the same exact reason. First of all, Yard House just feels like a place that everybody wants to go to anyway. It's kind of trendy.
Exactly.
And then they have stuff for us, and I'm the opposite of you. I don't want a black bean burger because I can feel like I get that anywhere. I want to feel like I'm eating like good like everybody else. So I love Yard House. That's a good example. I love that you showed us that. So before we wrap up, I want to know, do you have any like last minute tips for men who want to go vegan? And then after you tell us that, I want you to tell us about your new ebook and how we can follow. Yes, how we can follow you on social media.
Yes, my brothers, my men. Yo, so I want you guys to know that being plant-based and not eating meat can be sexy. It can be sexy. What I mean by that is it can be something that you can be manly. You can be it doesn't make you any less of a man to not be eating, to not eat meat or your steak and potatoes. As men, we got to realize that we have to be able to make the choice and do what's best for us and to not give up. So find an accountability partner. Find someone that you know that is going plant-based and just say, hey, bro, can you charge me to it before we go to the gym? Let's go to the grocery store. So I found that having an accountability partner is going to be the key to just being open and trying different things. And last but not least, I want us, the fellas, to know that, you know, when you are working out and when you're just being active, it's important to plan out whatever it is that you're going to eat. And this can go for anyone, but mostly my fellas, because I know when you're going to the gym, I'm like, man, I got to rehydrate my body and get nourishment via meat and just things. That's what a lot of men tell me. But if you eat things like peanut butter and avocado that have the good fat, and it can be a great supplement to whatever it is that you're already doing in the gym. And again, practice makes perfect. You know, just stay the course. Stay the course. When times get hard, we can't give up.
So I know you just released a new ebook with recipes and tips. Tell us where we can get it and a little bit about it.
Yes, for sure. So I'm super excited about my ebook. People have been saying, you know, when I post up on social media, like, hey, where can I get these recipes? So I finally comprised a few recipes, about 15 recipes, in an ebook that shares, you know, my plant-based journey and my brand story, as well as some tips to help you transition, because it's not going to happen overnight. And I don't want it to be a whole ebook. It's like, no, it's going to help you transition for, you know, 7 days or for 2 weeks or however you choose to do it. But you can get it on my Instagram. The link is in my bio. My Instagram is the plant-based brother, brother with an A. So again, it's Instagram.com/theplantbasedbrother. You can find it on my website, plantbasedbrother.com. So it's just www.plantbasedbrother.com, or on Facebook as well. Facebook, just plant-based brother. YouTube, the same thing. So just stay up to date with me, and that's where you get my ebook. And if you are already plant-based, definitely get it for a friend, because it is going to change your life, and it's a great guide to anybody looking to transition. And it's only $10. It's a great investment for yourself. And yeah, I'm excited about it.
Dope. Shout out to your friend Vaughn for connecting us. Shout out to him, because Vaughn probably listening to this. Shout out to you, Vaughn. Thank you for connecting us.
What's up, Vaughn?
Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. And I know that your insight is going to help other men make this transition. Just make people feel good about doing this in a way that doesn't have labels and just doing what's best for them, their health, the planet, all of that good stuff.
Loved it. Loved it. So much fun.
I hope this episode was helpful. Come over to my Instagram or Facebook page at Brown Vegan and let me know your thoughts. Also, be sure to rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes to make it easy for other people to find us. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it, and I will talk to you next week.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.